The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll change that because I don't know that people are using Alexa that much. So I might just take that little ditty out. Back on the Monday episode here. I don't know. You can call it a segment, an episode, whatever you want to call it. I'm not having an episode. I like to talk to people about things that matter, which is why I started up the Krieger Files from the old show, which basically focused on a myriad of issues, but a lot of them were on the alt-right and not so much attacking the mainstream. See, when you get to alt-right and you get to a situation where you get a lot of these conspiracy theories going out there. People come up with these issues that we want to talk about on the show. John Whitehead has agreed to come on Wednesday. He is the head of the Rutherford Institute, who actually files amicus briefs and lawsuits to help consumers. I wrote this book, which, you know, at the bottom of the hour, you hear the commercial for the credit restoration primer. I have a limited number of copies of that book. Now, why did I write the book? Well, as I mentioned before, I ran into two attorneys in Memphis, Tennessee at a business-to-business expo. And they said, look, we have a notebook here, $50, it's yours. I go, well, what's in it? They said, how to clean up your credit. I said, really? How'd you figure that out? Well, you know, the Fair Credit Reporting Act has specific items in it that allows you to basically attack any item of information on a consumer credit report. I said, any item of information? They said, yeah. I said, so you're talking about all these negative trade line items. That's what they call them. And I started researching this and I'm going, you know, this is a pretty good way to make money. Then I found out about CSOs. And people are going, who? You know, doing a Scooby on the phone here. Yeah, no, CSOs are, it's an acronym for credit service organizations. And I write about that in the book, The Credit Restoration Primer. I felt even after reading these letters that these letters could be dangerous. This notebook I bought from these attorneys had some very interesting letters that you can write to the credit bureaus using. And I felt like, you know, but the consumer is so upset. It took them years to establish bad credit. And they think it's all their fault, partially. But then when you find out that 85% of items listed on people's credit reports, I mean, the consumer reporting agencies are all trying to figure out how we can make our credit reports more truthful. They're still messed up. And so then when people, if you were to learn how to use the law to your advantage, you wouldn't need to be part of what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is one of these agencies out there the government wants to eliminate, at least the DOGE group. The CFPB is distributing nearly $2 billion, that's billion dollars with a B, billion dollars in refund checks to people scammed by CSOs, credit repair services. Now, this came out just this late last week. 4.3 million consumers were charged illegal advance fees or subjected to allegedly deceptive bait-and-switch advertising by a group of credit repair companies, including, now the word includes, in legal definition means contains. In other words, if you have a glass, and you're holding the glass in front of you, and you see this liquid there, and the liquid is water, and you're about to drink it, and you drink some of that water, and there's still water left in there, what's in that glass, as far as water goes, is the legal definition of includes. The glass includes water. The word includes in legal jargon means contains. The glass contains water. So it'd be fair to say it includes water. Now, could you dump it out and say the glass does not include water? It's just a glass? Sure you could. See, that's the whole idea about understanding of legal jargon. And if you don't understand it, this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because I looked at these letters these attorneys put out that I bought, and I said, you know what? Somebody needs to extrapolate on this, because these credit repair companies include or contained Lexington Law and creditrepair.com, adding that the $1.8 billion payout was the largest ever distribution from the agency's Victims Relief Fund. The companies offered services like fixing a person's bad credit score by getting negative and false information on their credit reports deleted. However, Lexington Law and creditrepair.com exploited vulnerable consumers who were trying to rebuild their credit, charging them illegal junk fees for results they hadn't delivered, according to the CFPB director, Rohit Chopra. The agency filed a lawsuit against the companies in 2019, accusing them of charging consumers during sign-up and then on a monthly basis, both of which were not illegally allowed. It was illegal what they did. Federal law requires that certain telemarketed credit repair services must not collect any upfront payment from consumers. Instead, they have to first provide documentation to customers that the promised results have been achieved, then wait 6 months to collect the fee. You see, that's one of the reasons I used to do this for a living, and I never had to get a bond because the states require that you be bonded if you're a CSO or credit service organization. And Kansas, for example, is $25,000. You've got to put up a $25,000 bond. And what bonds are for, bonds are used to pay for damages these people cause, right? If somebody damages you, you have to have a way to be made whole. And so whatever your fees were paid, if you didn't like what this agency did, you could complain, you could attack their bond, and you can collect on it. All right? So now you know what the bonding process is all about, right? Judges are bonded. Could you collect on their bonds? Well, we're starting to do it now. Yep. We're going to be having a class pretty soon to teach people. This will be, won't be a boot shop where you got to go attend it. No, we'll do something in the nature of a, one of these online calls. Not going to say how, but we're actually going to explain to you how to go after judges and lawyers who foreclose on your home. Yeah, because that's the next wave of pro se litigation, is suing judges. Well, I mean, what'd you expect? You knew we were going to get to that at some point. I mean, you fight the banks, you get into court, and you realize what a crook the judge is. I mean, could the judge be a pedophile? I don't know. Is that important to you right now? No, fighting your foreclosure is. You have to save mankind from pedophiles? Well, you know, that's the day the Lord does the judging. But right now, what matters is your ability to function. That's one of the reasons why I said, you know what? I'm not going to do credit repair anymore. I was doing it for my friends for free, and I mean, the results were just phenomenal. I did not charge monthly fees, and I always used to use the old adage, look, you could do this yourself. I would talk to the person who came to me and said, I want my credit cleaned up, and I heard you're the guy to do it. I said, well, let's put the brakes on that thought, right? Look, if you want me to put on the skirt, see, now this is not saying anything, you know, detrimental, but if you want me to put on the skirt, in other words, play secretary, that might be a little sexist because now secretaries wear pants, okay? Yeah, we've come that far, all right? So we drop it. I basically said, look, if you want me to do the secretarial duties for you and type letters you could be doing for yourself, then okay, fine. Here's the fee. I collect it when I'm done. I'm not going to wait 6 months to collect the fees because I'm not promising you any results. See, these people were promising results. And there is no, I mean, look at it. It took that long to screw up your credit. It takes that long to get it back, right? So in order to get all this negative information off, and I mean, I've gotten bankruptcies off credit reports. I've gotten child support off credit reports. You know, I mean, we're being plagued in America by debt, right? We're so debt conscious. It's crazy. We'll talk about the national debt, too, when we get back from the break. But I want to continue the conversation about this $2.7 billion in penalties because after the court ruling, the companies filed for bankruptcy. Ooh. Yeah, we'll talk about that and about this book I wrote and why you should get it after we come back from these important messages. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical, gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, back in the saddle at 18 minutes after the hour here. Dave Krieger with you. And we were talking about cleaning up your credit, because that's, you know, probably a very important thing because we've been so brainwashed into having it. Yeah, you got to have a credit card. You got to have this. You got to have that. Yeah, okay. Well, there are people that, you know, go by the old school. You know, remember what our parents told you. If you can't pay cash, you didn't need it that bad. But, you know, we've become conditioned to impulse buying. Hey, we got a credit card. Don't worry. See how that works. You know, it's really funny. We're talking about this settlement that the CFPB is paying out. This money is going to be distributed. And this is what's really weird. It's only going to be distributed to affected customers between December 5th of this year and January 6th of next year, with the payment amounts depending on how much was paid to creditrepair.com and Lexington Law. The amount you receive, however, may not cover all of the fees you paid, according to the CFPB. If funds remain after the distribution is complete, additional checks may be sent to consumers who cashed their initial check. Prior to the bankruptcy, the companies had over 4 million customers nationwide. They collected around $388 million in annual revenues in 2022. Following the court ruling, the companies shut off roughly 80% of their business and laid off about 900 workers. The companies have been banned from engaging in telemarketing credit repair services for 10 years. Oh, darn. You see, all these people, if you knew the law, we wouldn't need companies like creditrepair.com, which is one of the reasons why I said, you know what? Why put yourself in the crosshairs of something you can do yourself? Why start up a credit repair company when you could just get the book and clean up your own credit? I mean, most people don't even realize that 85% of their credit reports could be tainted with bad information. The letters in this book that I wrote, I mean, why don't you just learn the law? If everybody knew the law, we wouldn't have the crime we have in America, because people then would respect it. Laws are put on the books to keep consumers and people that care about liberty or don't care about liberty. Because, see, laws are always there to punish the guilty, right? That's what laws are there for. If we wouldn't need laws, we wouldn't need a Congress passing laws if people didn't misbehave. But obviously that, you know, we need to be punished. And this is why laws are created, to punish the wicked. So this is the reason I wrote the book. It's 185 pages in length in its fifth edition. And that's one of the reasons why. If you go to Clouded Titles, that's CloudedTitles.com. That's my website. You can go to the shop and buy it there. And I will ship it to you. And you can get started cleaning up your credit. Why, if you read this book, you would know more than probably 99.9% of the consumers on the street. Seriously. Now, can you help family members clean up their credit? Wow. See, that might be a great way to bring the family unit back together. Because, see, these Gen Zers are freaking out. God only knows how much credit problems they've gotten themselves into. So you got a people that just, you know, don't know what they're doing, and they go out and they subscribe to these agencies. And the New York City Department of Consumer and Worker Protection warns people that any service requires an upfront fee for credit repair is likely a scam. You see, I used to charge people until I found out what was going on. And I said, all right, here, I'm going to be nice about it. You don't have to pay me to do any of this stuff, because I used to charge like $350 to clean up a credit report. And I got results. I remember one couple, she walked into a mortgage loan thing and said, is it a bad thing if somebody, like, you know, their car breaks down and you just tell them, come and get it? Is that a bad thing? I said, that's called a repossession. And when I looked at the credit report, it was like, wow, what a mess. And the first time I filed a dispute, and see, what I did was I gave her the letter. She filed the dispute, certified mail, return receipt requested, and everything came off her credit report. Every bad item came off her credit report, and they were able to finance and get a mortgage. But I got rid of everything. Now, people are going, well, that's not fair. They are deadbeats anyway. You see how the system has conditioned all these mortgage loan officers and people out there that don't care whether they make a nickel or not? Selling you a mortgage loan that's securitized? You see, that's one of the reasons why when I was looking at bankruptcy, because see, this is what the government says. Another sign of fraud is when the service offers to remove negative information from a credit report. No one can legally remove negative information from a credit report that is accurate, the agency said. Do you understand what they just said? They lied to you. Most negative information generally stays on your report for 7 years, while bankruptcy can remain on the report for 10. 10 years. Well, don't worry. You can get a mortgage loan after 3.5 years from Fannie and Freddie. They'll securitize the paper for you and put you back in debt again. Because they know you can't check out for another 7 years, and now you're, you know, they're guaranteed they're going to get their property back. See how that works? But see, the agency said, no one can legally remove negative information from a credit report that is accurate. All right. The next question I'm going to ask you, the consumer, is how do you know it's accurate if you haven't gotten a copy of your credit report recently? I'll bet half of you listening to the show never submitted a letter requesting your credit report, let alone paid for one. Oh, no. I go to freecreditreport.com. Yeah. And you know what you got to give up to get? All your consumer information that ties your past debts to every little bit of privacy information that they have on you. Understand that these credit repair services, they know what's going on. That's why they're able to prey on the desperate, because there are people out there trying to survive. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. Look, why don't you just learn the law and do it yourself? There is a section called Section 611A of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Look it up. Type in on your DuckDuckGo. Section 611A, Fair Credit Reporting Act, and it says, any item of information on your credit report can be challenged. Any item. Your past addresses. I've cleaned up credit reports for people who look like transients. They move from place to place. They've got, you know, 20 different addresses listed on their credit report. It makes them look unstable. Think about it. Any item of information, it says. I love it. It says no one can legally remove negative information from a credit report that is accurate. They're trying to keep you enslaved. I'm trying to tell you, these people only say what the government tells them to say. Understand that. So if the government is full of pathological liars, and notice that they didn't attribute this to just one person. It said the agency said.
Off with his head, the agency said. This villain must be tried.
Yeah. So the agency said it. Now, what about just an individual that we can attribute it to? Was it this guy out there that heads up the agency, this Chopra guy? Is he the one who said it? No, they didn't attribute that to him. I mean, come on now. This is Epoch Times that's reporting this stuff. So, you know, if you got ripped off by Lexington Law or CreditRepair.com, I mean, they make it sound so wonderful, which is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, so that you wouldn't have to be plagued by people like that. Because what I did was I took this book that I bought from these attorneys at a business-to-business expo, and I put it out there. I researched. I looked up people who were actually suing debt collectors and winning in court. Under the FDCPA, that's why I wrote the book on FDCPA. Because people have to understand, you are dealing with federal statutes here. And any time that you file a lawsuit, you have to make sure that you exhaust all administrative remedies prior to doing so, otherwise they'll throw your case out. So I just saved you tens of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees with a $50 book. Huh, how's that work? See what I mean about the fact that we are ignorant about how we got into debt and how we get out of it? And when I tell you that a majority of the information on your credit report may not be accurate and that you can challenge it legally, it contradicts what the CFPB is saying. Seriously, because they said you can't remove legally any negative information that is accurate. Well, that may be true to an extent, but what if it's not? You see, when you go apply for a credit card, Are you open an installment loan account? Did you make up that account number? Did you just pull that out of your butt? How's that work? No. It's just like you go apply for your Social Security card. Did you make up that number? No. They made up that number. That's their number. That's not your number. So, you know, since words matter, and we're going to talk about that after we come back from the news break, since words matter, and since we're playing a game of legal semantics here, you need to understand that credit reporting is used to benefit the merchant who subscribes to the credit repository. I'm talking about Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and there's a host of other little minor ones out there. But those are the big three. Those are the ones who you can order their credit report and pay for it, so you don't have to distribute all this information they want in order to give you a free one. You see, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any, folks. That's one of the reasons why we're going to talk about why words matter when it comes to cleaning up your credit and about other little matters involving what we refer to as the national debt. We need to stop calling it that. I'll tell you why after we come back from the news. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
We're back after the break here talking about why words matter and the Fair Credit Reporting Act and why words matter. And of course, this is the fifth edition. I have 40 copies left. And when they're gone, I'm not reprinting the fifth edition. Did you hear what I just said? That's 40 copies. That's it. It's all that's up there on the cloudedtitles.com website. And if you're one of the lucky 40 to get one, then of course you will be one of the lucky ones to get your credit fixed. And you do it yourself. See, you have knowledge that nobody else has because knowledge is power, right? Oh, did I steal that mantra from some other show I used to do? Yeah. I know a lot of you are still having issues with it. I get it. You know, I'm sorry, bad business model. But you see, words matter. And understand, you know, as far as words go, this day in history, 4 years ago, Canada approved the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 jab. Fauci and the West medical establishment forced healthy citizens to take these and other similar vaccines, even if they didn't need them. Eventually, Fauci admitted he couldn't say with confidence that the vaccine prevents transmission. But of course, like this credit repair thing, everybody believes that everything the government says, right? Everybody believes it. Thank you, Joseph. Joseph, you know, Joseph just bought a copy of the credit restoration prime. Like I said, I got 40 copies left and I'm not printing anymore. Once they're gone, they're gone. It's the fifth edition. And once they're gone, they're gone. I've had to pull, you know, some copies out because I include them in some of my other consumer oriented programs. But I'm telling you, this is something that, like I said, if people knew what was going on and that words matter, these account numbers on your credit report are not your account numbers. They're account numbers assigned to you when you filled out an application for credit. You didn't make those numbers up. That number on your credit card is an account number that was assigned to you. Words matter, folks. Now I'm going to talk about the national debt. This has been brainwashed into our head that we have a national debt. This is something that I picked up out of the Texas News magazine, the TNM, Texas Nationalist Movement, wrote an article on this. Because if words matter, see, words are being used to saddle you with $36 trillion in debt that isn't yours. This is from their newsletter, okay? I got a copy of it, and I read it, and I go, you know, that makes sense. I'm not going to split hairs over it, but it is terminology, right? There is a distinction between the national debt and federal debt, which strikes at the heart of who's actually responsible for this fiscal nightmare. We call it the national debt. We're buying into the fiction. Somehow we're all equally responsible for Washington's spending addiction, and we're not. Why aren't we, when we go to bankruptcy court, why aren't all these people that declared bankruptcy, why aren't they discharging their share of the federal debt? Well, first off, you have to figure out how you were tied to the federal debt. Oh, there is a means by which they've done it, and I'm doing some research on it. and I will have it for you on a future show. I don't want to go into detail on it right now because I need to talk to some attorneys that have discovered this and how our U.S. government has screwed America. I'm talking about U.S. Government Inc. here. There is a difference between national debt and federal debt. You see, who racked up all the debt? Did you rack up all that national debt? No. Congress did. What is Congress part of? The United States Government Incorporated. They're the ones who racked up the federal debt. And we keep calling it the national debt because who? The mainstream media keeps lying to us and telling us that it's our responsibility for this fiscal nightmare. Hey, you elected these boneheads in there, and they can't even tell you the truth because they're too busy enriching themselves. We're buying into the fiction that we're all equally responsible for Washington's, you know, running out and spending, you know, money like a drunken sailor in a strip club. I mean, you think about what the word national actually means. It's a nation of people. It's the states. It's our communities under the Constitution. The federal government isn't the nation. It's a governing body created by the states to handle specific limited functions. But you see, by labeling their debt national, they pulled off an amazing feat of linguistic sleight of hand. They've convinced everybody that their spending problem is somehow all of America's spending problem. And you see, it goes on, the article does, to show that Texas didn't vote to rack up $36 trillion in direct debt. Oklahoma didn't approve another $221 million in unfunded obligations. Florida didn't sign off on sending billions in foreign aid to countries that hate us. Oh, the federal government did all that on their own, and you keep electing these boneheads to go to Congress and represent you so they can rack up more debt. And then they want to shift the responsibility of fiscal malpractice onto every state and consumer and citizen in the union, small c. Small c citizen, folks. But every time, you know, you go on that credit application and you check, you see, are you a U.S. citizen? Check. Well, you thought you were. How about an American? Are you an American? Does that make sense? Well, if you're an American, see, what happens when you check no or you leave it blank and somebody misses over it? Well, I never said I was a U.S. small c citizen. Because see, when you become a USC small c citizen, US citizen, right? When you become that person, you become a fiction. And then the federal government can tag you with whatever it wants because you become part of it. You become part of the administrative Article 1 state, and the bureaucrats in DC love it because it obscures their responsibility. National debt sounds like something we all had a hand in creating. Sounds like something we are all obligated to pay. Sounds like something we should all feel responsible for, the American thing, but it's not. It's federal debt created by federal spending, approved by federal politicians, administered by federal bureaucrats, like the IRS. You know about the IRS, huh? You know about that? Guess what? IRS criminal investigation special agents, who are authorized to carry guns and use lethal force, now number 2,290. Financial crimes expanded its workforce by nearly 11%, bringing staffing levels to their highest in nearly a decade and boosting the division's conviction rate to 90%, according to the IRS's criminal intelligence latest annual or investigative annual report. Yeah, the Criminal Investigation Division, I have a copy of their handbook. I got a copy of that a long time ago. See, people don't know the law. They don't understand the law, and this is one of the reasons why we have a problem. Because if people knew the law, they would understand, and I'm not telling you, don't pay your taxes. You know, this is something you volunteered into. It's called Social Security. You fell for this. It's the raw deal. It's not the new deal. It's the raw deal. And you all fell for it. You know, my parents fell for it when they signed me up. And I got in a big argument with them, and that was the end of that. Boy, our parents would have nothing to do with us after that. I said, why'd you do that? Well, we didn't know any better. We thought we were doing the right thing. Oh, yeah, how American can you be? You got me a Social Security number. I got friends of mine that have no Social Security number. They don't file and pay taxes. Why? Because you need a Social Security number in order to be able to file a tax return. That was proven in court. Judge told him he didn't have to file and pay taxes. He blew it off. The guy's never filed a tax return because daddy was smart and never got him a Social Security number. So you see, now here's a whole different argument for another day. That Social Security number was assigned to you when you volunteered in. Why? Why did you volunteer in? Is there any legitimate reason why you volunteered to be in the Social Security system? The social insecurity. Why? Because you can't, you don't know how to save. You don't know how to actually make a business for yourself using a decent business model. Unlike the former show I used to work for that whose business model sucked wind. That's why they went broke, folks. Because they had a bad business model. Yeah. I could go into detail on exactly how they screwed consumers, but hey, whatever. The whole idea is we're here because I care about what's in your wallet. No, I really do. I'm not being cynical, but I am. Because if people knew the law, we wouldn't have the problems we have right now. But see, once you've got that Social Security number and you filed your first 1040, well, guess what? You are bound by their law to keep filing that 1040 form, whether it's easy or the full 1040 or whatever. You're bound by law to do it. And who brought that law on yourself? Well, you did when you volunteered in. Oh, my. Oh, what a web we weave, huh? And we had no idea they were deceiving us. We'll be back with more after these words. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
All right, we got 12 minutes left in the program, and James in Ohio, glad you're listening this morning. James wrote me an email through the KriegerFiles.com website, thekriegerfiles.com. You know, here's the other thing about that credit restoration primer I was trying to tell people I didn't get to, but I want to tell you this. If you have any questions regarding any of the books that you buy on cloudedtitles.com, you are welcome to go to thekriegerfiles.com, hit the contact button, and send me an email. I will respond. If you put your phone number in there and demand I call you to have a conversation, I will do it. You ask many of our listeners from the old show, we still talk because people want to get to the truth. They want to find out what's going on. And if people knew the law, like I said, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And that's why I said I got 40 of these credit books left for sale, like 39 now. Joseph just bought one. And if you have any questions regarding any of the material, you can email me through the website. See, this is not one of these national talk shows like Glenn Beck and whatever where they don't have time for you. They're just out. It's a numbers game. Once you get into the world of podcasting, it's all about numbers and monetization. I'm talking about helping consumers, right? That's why I designed this show the way I did. And, you know, we do talk about health policies on occasion, like the old show, because, you know, when the law is involved, and it is in this case, SCOTUS, that's the Supreme Court of the United States, has been asked to block Washington State from investigating doctors who questioned COVID-19 policies. Oh, yeah. Because their medical boards, maybe this is something that we need to be looking at when it comes to giving federal dollars to the state. Maybe we need to be looking at these medical licensing boards saying, hey, look, these guys are licensed to practice law. You don't have the right to take their licenses away. You know, they don't forfeit their free speech rights under the First Amendment. And you see, if the Democrats were so hell-bent on protecting consumer rights, and I'm talking about the Democrats on the Supreme Court, Justice Elena Kagan rejected the same application on November 20th that just got put in to Judge Clarence Thomas's court, Stockton versus Ferguson. The applicants renewed their request in a court filing directed to Thomas 2 days after she rejected it. So, see, a lot of these judges don't care about you or the horse they rode in on because they're there. They already have their little cushy job until they decide to retire or die. Amazing how that works, huh? So why should these doctors be, you know, have their medical license stripped? I mean, they may still have student loans. By the way, those are securitized. I will get into a whole segment on bankruptcy, but I don't want to do that today. I want to talk about that, you know, this week. Because bankruptcy can be useful if you know what you're doing. Bankruptcy can be useful to expose a lot of evil doing. I mean, I know that, you know, once you file it, it's like a 10-year you know, stain. But hey, with the credit restoration primer, like I said, I've gotten rid of bankruptcies. I have gotten rid of bankruptcies and child support and all sorts of other crap using the material I bought from the attorneys, and I researched and researched and researched and embellished this and put it in the credit restoration primer. So I know you're excited, like Joseph, you're excited to see what's in this book. If you read, like I said, all 185 pages of this book, you read it, you will know more than 99.9% of all consumers out there that would rather run to Lexington Law and CreditRepair.com and throw big money at them. Because, I mean, these people were paying $1,500 to $3,000 to $5,000 to get their credit cleaned up. That's where the bait and switch came in. And now they want to eliminate the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau because they think it's a waste of time. Well, if you're going through foreclosure, I'm going to talk to you about bankruptcy, because the OCC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency that monitors the major banks in America, the OCC says that bankruptcy is nothing but a stall tactic for the inevitable. Oh, see, what the OCC doesn't understand is I'm the government's worst nightmare, because I'm looking at what the OCC is doing. And it's like, you are giving these banks permission to go securitize everybody's mortgage loan paper and making us think that we can't do anything about it. Well, unfortunately, yeah, you're wrong. There is something you can do about it. You know, things have gotten so bad that U.S. TikTok content creators are warning followers that they should go look them up on Instagram and YouTube now. Why is that? Because the appeals court has now ruled that TikTok has to be sold or banned by ByteDance January 19 next year. You either sell the U.S. company or you take it down. You know, you sell to a U.S. company that's going to do the right thing and not put TikTok challenges out there and all this other garbage. Well, now they're moving to Instagram and Alphabet's YouTube after the court ruled the social media app could be banned if it isn't sold to a U.S.-based company by January 19th. They don't want people that are in charge of TikTok, ByteDance, Chinese Communist Party, milking more content information and backstory information on all the consumers, especially kids that like the TikTok challenge. Mattel, by the way, you can tell it's Mattel. It's swell. I don't know if that's the right one. Mattel's been sued over those Wicked dolls. Why is that? Well, because the back of the box the Wicked doll comes in has a link to it. And when you go to the link, guess what? It takes you to a porn site. So, Holly Ricketson in Los Angeles filed a, she filed it in federal court in Los Angeles because that's where Mattel is. She's a South Carolina mom. She sued Mattel because they put this link to a porn website on the packaging for the dolls tied to the blockbuster movie Wicked. Well, Holly, I got a question, and they're probably going to pick you apart in court because since you're the lead plaintiff in the class action suit and you stand to make at least $75,000 for what they did. If your kid went to the porn site, they've already been stained. Their mind's already been tainted because they looked at this stuff. Some of it unnatural, some of it natural, some of it abusive. Some of it, they make it look like, you know, it's forced. Oh, it's all by design. And then they mistakenly put this porn website on the back of the doll. Why would you even buy a Wicked doll for your kid? Why would you do that? Don't you believe in God, Holly Ricketson? Then she goes on and visits an adult entertainment website through the link provided by the toy maker. Oh, that's a whole different bunch of toys, folks. It's not just a Wicked doll. It's just like why people are taking their kids to watch Santa with Jack Black. Hell, you should already know by now. You take Santa and you juxtapose the letters. What do you get? Satan. Don't believe me? Try it. Take all the letters and cross each one out as you spell S-A-T-A-N. Dear Satan, instead of Dear Santa. He misspelled it. Yeah, the Jack Black, you should know that. He's an anti-Trumper. You should know that already, how Jack Black thinks. Yeah. So buy your kid a Wicked doll and take him to go see, you know, the movie Wicked and see whether or not they mess with the website. Yeah, Mom. Obviously, if you were a Christian, you'd know better, right? You wouldn't even take him to the movie in the first place. You wouldn't even take him to see Santa. You know, Jack Black, I'm sorry, guy, but you made yourself out to be a real evil prick and nobody likes you anymore. You know, people that have awakened to your garbage, they understand it. Texas, by the way, is now getting endorsements from federal judges Texas is putting together a 1,402-acre ranch on the Rio Grande as a potential site for detention facilities and is ready to share its playbook for muscling through immigration policy changes, such as an executive order requiring hospitals to ask about a patient's immigration status and measure that would allow police officers to arrest migrants and empower state judges to order deportations. Texas Land Commissioner Don Buckingham last week announced an initiative to identify land within the 13 million acres owned by the agency the Trump administration could use for deportation operations, including the recently acquired ranch along the Rio Grande. And the federal judge is also supporting the fact that Texas can now put up more razor wire. You gotta love that. Those of you that had owned a Nissan, the car industry as a whole may be ailing, but Nissan's prognosis is particularly dire. The sluggish sales, mainly in North America, have been disastrous for Japanese automaker. In response, the dealers are selling cars at a loss, and production has been slashed by 20%. The company cut 9,000 jobs and sold a third of its stake in Mitsubishi. All this may be a little too late, right? On paper, at least, it doesn't look good. Nissan's operating profit dropped 85% in the third quarter, with the company reporting a net loss of 9.3 billion yen, or 60.1 million at today's exchange rate. They got about 12 to 14 months to survive, according to a senior official close to Nissan told the Financial Times. It's going to be tough. We need Japan and the U.S. to be generating cash. Nissan's cost cutting is part of a large-scale restructuring effort to save $3 billion. So, hey, what does this mean? Does this mean we can all go to a Nissan dealership and buy something? You know, production plants in Canton, Mississippi, and Smyrna, Tennessee, 13,000 workers, 100,000 cars. Yeah, they're going to be affected by this. I told you they were going to cut production, didn't I? Man, all these plants they just set up. Yep, there's more jobs gone. Oh, yeah, the economy's wonderful. You believe everything your government tells you? Well, you need to keep listening to the show. We'll have more news on what's going on with bankruptcy later in the week, as well as the issues involving why we should refer to this as the federal debt and why you may not be responsible. In the meantime, be back tomorrow. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Stay safe.